Hello and welcome back. Thank you for logging in. This is Tonse 5G Plus, your destination for everything 5G in the Indian market, everything enterprise 5G in Indian market, as well as any key global developments that might impact the sector. You'll get it all here every week at Tonse 5G Plus. My name is Sridhar Pai. Thank you for logging in. And if you like this episode, you know what to do. Feel free to share it with colleagues, friends, and come back every week to get your latest update. Let's dive in right now. Top stories for the week. This has been the auctions week for the 5G auctions, and the whole country, as well as a lot of other observers, have been following up very closely because plenty of spectrum is at stake. And the good news is that, of course, the Indian government has surprised itself with the windfall on day one of the auction. Today is day three as I'm speaking. But day one of the auction, the government received commitments for 1.49 lakh crores, which is roughly $18.1 billion for several swathes of the spectrum that were available. Totally about 72 gigahertz was available for grabbing, and all of that in different parts, in different segments, are currently being competed for by the top two telcos, which is both Jio as well as Airtel. Other participants, of course, Vodafone Idea as well as Adani are right there. Story number two, Jio has released its latest numbers and they're looking pretty good. And we'll look at that very soon. And number three, government has opened up the E-band at this point to provide for backhaul applications for all the MNOs. So more on that coming up immediately in a minute. So here's what's happening in the auctions. As of this date, at this point, we're already in day three, and the mood is very positive. It looks like the sector has turned around compared to the previous spectrum auctions, where several bands remained uncompeted for. This time it has been a very much more aggressive position, with especially the 700 megahertz as well as the mid band, which is 3.3 to 3.6 gigahertz, going all the way to, it looks like a very positive commitment from both the operators in terms of grabbing this, especially from Jio, which is, we don't have the full detail, but what we know is that 700 megahertz is likely to get deployed everywhere, at least from Jio's side. This is actually good news because in terms of actual penetration within the walls, into the building and your living room and so on, I think 500 for 5G, 700 megahertz is the way to go. So that looks very positive. And at this point, it looks like Jio has crossed 84,000 crores in terms of total commitment, which is about a little over $10 billion. $10 billion. And in terms of Airtel, Airtel's focus also has been somewhat similar, but it's taken a clean sweep of the mid-band to high-band, and has focused on urban as well as dense markets, which is its primary markets for 5G. Vodafone Idea has also targeted mid-band, but their total commitment appears to be in the range of 12,000 crores or so, which is about $1.5 billion. Adani has played a very safe game. It looks like Adani's commitment at this point is only on the enterprise properties it's looking at, which is why it is only targeting the 26 gigahertz, the high band. Exact locations and LSAs where they have targeted and are acquiring spectrum is not yet known, and we'll have to wait for a little while before that information comes out. It's possible that the total auctions will complete either today or tomorrow sometime, and by then we should have full details. Moving forward, in other major stories, Jio has released its numbers for the current quarter, which is looking very positive. It has in fact broken the jinx of having negative subscriber adds that it had the last multiple quarters, and this time it has actually reported net positive 9.7 million subscriber adds in the last quarter, which takes it to 419.9 million subscribers, which is a whopping 420 million roughly, which is a significant lion's share compared to the fact that it had a breakaway and then came back at just 4.5 years ago. So I think in that sense, Jio has proved that one more time that this is their space. And when it comes to large-scale deployments, large-scale execution, it's difficult to match these guys. In terms of actual numbers, the revenue is up about 27.5 billion for the year on year. It's gone up. In terms of net profits, quarter on quarter, about $541 million. Data usage per subscriber is about 20.8 GB per user per month, and ARPU has gone to about $2.196. So the overall presence for Jio is very clear. It's going to go after the 5G market, and its new locations and points of proof of concept that is deploying that have been released in parts. We've been able to access some of that information that I'm going to share here right now. It looks incredible. For example, in the Kandla port, Jio has already deployed the first proof of concept with 5G ODSC, which is outdoor small cells, which is 200 meter radius. Jio is actually entirely, don't forget this technology, both on the radio as well as the core. Many of these elements have been built in house, so it's actually a technology house with a service provider license. It's actually going out there and deploying in different locations and demonstrating to both the market as well as the regulators that this is something that we can do. This is a fundamental shift in the way Indian operators have always been managing. For example, we saw huge innovations in deployment models about 10 years for the last 10 years or so with the Chinese vendors like Huawei and Airtel having this engagement where a lot of managed services were being done. So the capex outflow from an operator was lower and the commitment from the equipment vendor was much higher. And the engagement was to actually, the equipment vendor would go out there, deploy the products, deploy the network for the requirement of Airtel, and then they would actually split the revenues, manage services mode. But this is different, where Jio is actually owning several elements of the technology, actually built it in-house and then deploying it. So we're going to see some fundamental shifts, and be interesting how this market develops forward as the big two players have different approaches. Jio owning some of the capex and Airtel actually working with external vendors, since they don't have any capex in-house. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. To continue, in terms of Jio's more proofs of concept where they have deployed in Bangalore, about 1 kilometer from where I am right now, at the MG Road metro station, Jio actually beamed 200 meter radius, small cell outdoor unit, and they demonstrated 1.45 Gbps downlink as well as 65 Gbps uplink, which is phenomenal. It's about 8 times, maybe 9 times the typical high-end 4G high throughput link demo. In Bhopal, they've done a very similar job. Jio has actually demonstrated on this using street furniture, something that the TRAI wanted to experiment and see and push if it can be done, because it'll actually bring down the cost for per node deployment. If you're already using reliable utility infrastructure such as light beams, light poles, masts that are actually very well deployed and installed in the streets, if that can be reused for deploying small cells, that was the idea, and that seems to be working with the Jio SA core as well as Jio 5G small cells. That's what they did in Bhopal, and that picture with the TRI folks as well looking at it, I think demonstrates that some of these have gone all the way to prove what can be done in India by Jio. And story number three, of course, is a very interesting development. As the auctions have been running simultaneously, some of the equipment vendors are in elated modes, including Nokia, Ericsson, Samsung, because they have been invited for talks, and these discussions were already on. It looks like now the capex commitments as well as what kind of network configurations and deployment scenarios are being discussed. It looks like the purchase orders are going to be placed very soon, in the next maybe 4 to 6 weeks, and then by September mid or so, maybe even October, deployments should actually start, at least in pockets, according to initial testing and release inputs we've received. Much of this media information is already covered by some of the big media houses, and I have to acknowledge that some of the sources, the data and the numbers, have actually been sourced from analysts at Nomura, analysts at some of these have come from inputs come from Credit Suisse and a few others, also published media reports. So in terms of actual deployments, we know that the engagements for capex is currently happening between Samsung, Nokia, Ericsson. And clearly the big difference this time is that Huawei and ZTE are no longer in the race. So Huawei, ZTE, both the Chinese vendors who actually had lion's share of network capex in the last several years, especially for 3G and also towards 4G, that has fundamentally changed as ZTE and Huawei are no longer in the race. That is a clear observation. Also, we have to tell you that we know that the 4G network from Jio was fundamentally a Samsung network, but now it looks from some of the reports we are seeing that Jio has is looking to work more with Ericsson and Nokia this time than with Samsung. And Samsung, however, may actually now enter the Airtel network for both the radio as well as the core. So these are some of the developments that we've already seen. We also have some updates. At this point, it's not absolutely confirmed, but it looks like Airtel may be looking at 15 to 20,000 nodes or cell sites for the 5G network because of the focus on urban and dense markets. But clearly, Jio will be looking at maybe 25 to 30,000 cell sites for 5G. That's the way it looks because Jio has a much more aggressive plan. They actually want to cover 5G across to a pan-India network in 3 years, including rural. This is what we know from Jio's side. So that brings us to the end of this episode. However, I want to add this one little piece of information we recently got. We actually covered it in our blog as well. Interestingly, for India market, the GOI, the Government of India, has recently announced that they will be allowing operators to start using E-band. So E-band will be allocated administratively to specific locations or sites that network operators are making a request for, and that will be allocated. For those that do not know, E-band is the high-end 76 to 83 gig, which is a very reliable, high-speed but short-distance high capacity link, which is a good replacement for microwave backhaul or those sites which do not already have fiber. For example, one of the issues that's actually plaguing a lot of Indian cell sites is that about 36 to 37% is all the cell sites in India that have fiber in the backhaul. So if you do not have fiber, you'll end up using proprietary microwave links or other forms of carrying the data back into the remote part of the network, which is actually going to start hurting. And the only way to do that is by having a more dependable, licensable spectrum such as E-band. So this is interesting. This is actually going to help some of the companies that already domestically are building this technology in India as well, including Astrom. Check out Astrom Technologies, which is in Bangalore, and they've actually developed a multi-gigabit, multi-hop network technology which will allow E-band to be used very effectively with much, much higher capacities. So that is the other story I wanted to add here. So quick update, quick recap. One is it's been a phenomenal spectrum auction because the GOI is happy. They're getting a lot more than expected. Reliance is probably happy too because they're spending, but they know that these are fundamental assets which they will have to capitalize over the next 3 years or multiple years. These are 20-year commitments, by the way. And the interesting thing is these operator fees is not paid upfront. This is paid over time. So it is it's a good way to build assets at the same time, start getting operational, start generating revenue, and then pay out from that. Airtel is very much in the race, and they're going strong with urban and dense market focus. And to complete, Jio has had a fantastic quarter. They're looking to get out of the red that they were in. And as we move forward, it looks like we'll see a lot more action in the space with more and more proofs of concept type deployments happening everywhere, both from Airtel. We saw that, we talked about the last episode where they've actually done some Industry 4.0 demonstrations with Bosch in Bangalore, as well as other operator POC, which we talked about just now. So more action coming up. That's all for now. Thank you one more time for logging in. And if you're listening to this offline, if you have any comments or questions, please do not hesitate to add them right there at the bottom. Follow me on Twitter or on LinkedIn, and details are right there under the podcast masthead. Take care, God bless, and have a fantastic week. More coming up next week. Bye-bye.